Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of the week again for the Gift of Gaming podcast, and this week, the Game Awards nominations were announced. So join me and Chris as we take you through all of the Game Awards nominations 2024. What's up? It's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today I'm joined by the console-hating, PC-playing, lore-seeking, full-time Canadian himself, Chris Robbins. Chris.
What's happening?
How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm a little worn from the day, but, you know, happy to be here.
Yeah. All good on your end of things?
Yeah. I just, you know, life. Maybe it's just, life and the season, the season we're dealing with. It's fucking pitch black at like 4:30 here in Ireland.
It's
now,
when you wake up, it's dark. When you get finished work, it's dark. Yeah, it's a tough time. I've never minded this time of year. I always quite like it, but it's one of those things where I think at lunchtime when I'm in work, I have to get out.
Yeah. And that's the problem. I've been kind of just nose to the grindstone with work this week, and it's wearing on me. I need to get out and get some sun.
Well, don't worry, Chris, because we're here to talk about the Game Awards, and that'll cheer us up, right?
Yes, well, will it?
That'll take away all of life's woes.
This Game Awards is not a good one to be, you know, the PC playing, console hating, because it's
nothing but console.
A lot of console, yeah.
But the one thing I do
good
want to
year
have,
for Sony, that's for sure.
The one thing I do want to have a gripe about with this one before we kick into it. They announced the nominations that DLC and season passes were considered or are considered as part of the nominations. I have a big problem with that. I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, I mean, it probably should be its own category. And I think, like, this is the Elden Ring clause, just because we've seen DLC come close to that scale, but not quite on the scale. Like, it's... And I'm trying, like, I'm on the fence about it. I'm not entirely sure it should be up for the categories it's in, but I think what it boiled down to for me is if you ripped the base game out of the DLC and had they shipped it like that, like Shadow of the Erdtree is its own fully fledged game, like, people would have been happy to pay for just that. So I was just like, yeah, that's kind of a game. And, like, there's other instances where, like, sequels have no business being considered a sequel. Like, they're almost could have been the DLC on that scale.
And a lot of occasions, so I agree. Yeah. I think my issue with it is that I just don't like the idea of the same game, essentially, because it is the game. It's like, it's Elden Ring. It's the DLC, you know, Shadow of the Erdtree is the DLC. It's how they've classified it. I have a problem with that potentially being able to win a Game of the Year on two separate occasions.
I have another... We'll talk about it when we talk about the rest of the Game of the Year nominees, but I do have a tinfoil hat opinion.
Oh yeah,
about that.
So you want us to wait until we get there?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, I suppose.
But I mean, sorry, not to jump in like that. No. There is. I'll bring them up as they come along. But there are other gripes I have with some of the choices,
the categories here. And things. Well, if you're listening to this right now, myself and Chris have not yet voted on the nominations. The voting for the nominations is now live on the Game Awards website. And myself and Chris thought it'd be fun to kind of put our votes in as we're going through the categories here on the podcast. If you're chilling out, you're sitting down, you're doing nothing, grab your laptop, your phone, or whatever else, hop onto the website and just make some nomination votes with myself and Chris. But Chris, shall we kick it off with the first one? What is the first one on our list?
Yes. So we are not doing this on the order on the website, because that starts off with Game of the Year and then ends with, like, the esports team, athletes. And stuff, which I feel like probably shouldn't start off with a bang and then just peter off. So we're actually going to do them in the order, because there was the pre-announcement yesterday. There was the pre-announcement for who the nominees are, and I thought the order that they announced them in was a pretty good, exciting, bit of a roller coaster ride. So that's the order we are taking, which starts off with Best Ongoing.
Oh, nice. Okay, let me just find it here on the list that we're going. Best Ongoing.
This is where my gripes actually start.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Yeah. Let me just see here. Best Ongoing Games. Why can't I find that on this list?
Oh, I can kick us off.
You have them?
Yeah, we have Destiny 2, Diablo 4, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, and Helldivers 2.
Okay. So, thoughts on that one yourself?
So I think... Oh, that's another thing we should probably mention is we're going to place or tell you what our vote is and also tell you what our actual prediction is.
Yes.
Because those are going to be wildly different for a lot of these cases. So my prediction is Fortnite takes this. And honestly, probably my vote, despite not being ever playing it, like this year I got a bit of FOMO about Fortnite, like seeing all the content they were playing in the game. Or putting in the game, and I thought it looked really good. So that gets my vote and my prediction.
Nice. So so your vote and prediction is both on Fortnite?
Yep.
Nice. Okay. I would say, I mean, my vote would always go to, I think, in this situation, Final Fantasy 14. I'm not up to date with where they are in the DLC, but Dawn Trails is just another, like, they said they were done.
Yeah.
And then they announced Dawn Trails, which is a whole lot extra.
Solid,
just massively into it again. So nonstop. I mean... Final Fantasy 14, I'd love it to get it. Helldivers 2 was like a big surprise, kind of out of left field, this, how good that was.
And this is my gripe, is because this is, I think, the new... Last year they had Labor of Love, so ongoing support of a game after it's released, right?
Yeah.
And this is ongoing, but like Helldivers 2 was just released this year. It's hardly considered ongoing. Like, it's not a feat or anything. Like, if anything, No Man's Sky, which is still getting content, or Stardew Valley, which got a huge update this year... Like, why is Helldivers, which is still kind of like, I feel like they're still in the roadmap from what they initially promised.
Yeah, I mean, they haven't really got, I mean, I know that they've made lots of kind of quality of life changes and balance changes with weapons and things like that.
Yeah, but it's a live service game. That's to be expected for at least a few years. It's not like...
I just think because of like how successful it was for what, I mean, I love the first one. And I didn't get this one at the time. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth came out. That's exactly why I never got onto it. But I love the first one. And I was really, you know, Andrew got this game and I played a lot of it with him. We had a look at it on his PlayStation. Really enjoyed it. Said it looked great. I think I'm going to put my vote down as I'm here on the website. I'm going to vote for Final Fantasy 14 for sure. And then I think who's going to get it will probably be... Fortnite surprisingly has been in these kind of categories over the last couple of years and not won it.
Yeah, but Fortnite went crazy this year. They had that like Lego game, remember? They had the racing.
Sorry,
they
it's a metaverse in itself. Okay, you're right. So Fortnite will be my my prediction for that one. Okay, so what's next on our list?
Next is best performance, which going through these, I also realized that like I didn't play a lot of new games this year, so I might be not the ideal person for this. But hey, here we are.
So do you have the nominations there?
Yeah, we have Brianna White, which is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Unfortunately, it doesn't say
Aerith.
That was Aerith.
Yeah.
Oof, if it's anything like the first, that's
man,
a hard no from me, man.
Oh, really?
I hated Aerith in the first.
Oh man, she's so good. Sorry, go on.
Sorry, Hannah Tell from Life is Strange: Double Exposure. Humber Lee Gonzalez from Star Wars Outlaws. Luke Roberts from Silent Hill 2. And Melina Jurgens?
Yeah.
From Senua's Saga Hellblade 2. And like I said, I didn't really play any of these games. I played Senua's Saga, the first one. And I mean, if it's anything like that, it's a slam dunk for her. Like, it's pretty much the whole point of... what they're trying to build is based on performance and stuff. And got her with the mocap. Like, it's incredible stuff.
And it's not only the mocap, it's the fact that it's kind of like the fact that she's got, you know, mental health issues in, like, as the story is, then she's suffering from all that. And you can see
the despair in her face. And that's all that's all because of the acting.
There's a huge amount there. Yeah. So, I mean, my vote would be, I haven't played Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, so I think it'd be wrong for me to say yes. I mean, I loved her in the first one. I thought she was great. I loved Aerith in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. That's going to get my vote. But I think it will and probably should be Melina Jurgens for Senua's Saga.
Okay. So I put Melina across the board, but yeah.
Nice. And what's next on our list after that?
Mobile.
Oh, best mobile game. This is an interesting one, actually, because although I haven't played... Sorry, before beginning, I'll go through them. We have AFK Journey from Farlight Little Games, Balaltro from Local Thunk and Playstack, Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket from Creatures Inc., Wuthering Waves, Kuro Games, and Zenless Zone Zero from Hoyoverse. I have not played the Pokemon trading card game, but I've watched a ton of people.
Good things,
it's man. It looks, and it's one of those things where I never think to take up my phone and to download a game. Like I've got zero.
Well, I see. Games. That's the thing. Like I do all the time, actually. Although I play Pokemon Go a lot, yeah. Like on the walk, but like actively and like kind of sweat about it. I still play Slay the Spire all the time, and I still think it's the best version of it is mobile because it just lends so well to that gameplay.
Mm-hmm. Do you have,
this is going to be Blacho, hands down. Yeah. Like, there's no way. The fact that, like, spoiler, it's up for Game of the Year, too.
Yeah.
And none of the others here are.
Yeah.
So it gets my vote and my prediction.
I think my vote would be, and I've played Beleltro via Dave the Diver, because Beleltro had a DLC they had a crossover thing in it, which was great. And I just kept going back to, like, the Sea People Village just to play Beleltro,
like,
yeah.
In game,
yeah, yeah. Oh, play the game. It's really cool, and I really enjoyed that. And I'm assuming it's probably a simplified version of what Beleltro can be, you know, in terms of the full game. I think that'll get it. I would love to see Pokemon Trading Card Game Pocket get it, only because I've watched so many videos, and it's the original 151 Pokemon, and it reminds me so much of my youth of like trading the cards in school. Like, it's like some of the artwork is the original cards and everything like that. I love that.
Is it a gacha though? Like, do you have to pay for like packs that open
you,
up?
It's a timed thing, so you can wait to get packs, so you're not forced to buy packs. But yes, if you want to get packs quicker, I think you pay for them. But it is a case whereby if you just wait enough time, you're free to open a pack. Yeah. I think you can do a pack daily or something like that, you know. Okay. I got hooked on for a while watching people open their packs, hoping for like this, there's a certain kind of Mewtwo card that's, you know, really valuable in matches, like when you go online to challenge other trainers. I watch so many of like the not streamers, but like the podcast guys on YouTube that I listen to open packs of Pokemon, and I was like, maybe I need to get on this, and I still haven't done it, but I think after this episode I'll probably download that onto the mobile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, what we got next?
We have best art direction for outstanding creative and or technical achievement in artistic design and animation. So this one is kind of controversial. This is where like the big controversy starts.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Astro Bot, Black Myth Wukong, Metaphor Refantasio, Neva, and Elden Ring Shadow of the Erdtree.
Boo.
The thing is, yes, it is controversial, but I think it has more of a place being in Game of the Year than art direction, because this is literally, it is the same art as we saw last year. Like, it has less of a place in this category, I think.
And I think the fact that you only get five nominees, and this is taking up a space of so many other games that would have had amazing art direction this year, that really bothers me as well. Like, it's in a category that only has five nominations, and you're like, what is Elden Ring doing back here? What is it doing back here?
It is crazy. I don't think it stands a chance, though, to be honest.
I hope so, but you never know, Chris. People are big fans of Elden Ring, but we'll wait and see. But where are you lying with this one?
This is a tough one for both my vote and prediction. It's a toss-up between Black Myth Wukong and Metaphor Refantasio to me.
Nice, okay.
I think my vote is going to go with Black Myth, because I do like that dark, gritty look of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it'll go to Metaphor.
Interesting. Just because I love how it looks and it's on my wish list to buy and I've watched lots of videos, my vote will probably be on Neva, I think, in terms of just how, I mean, it's a beautiful story, and I think most of what's good about it is told by its art and art style and direction.
I never even heard of it until it got nominated for
it's
this.
From the guys who did Gris.
Gris. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's from that team. So my vote would be there. I think like Metaphor could be a good shout. Like it's funny. I was talking to Craig because Craig's like fucking 80 hours deep into Metaphor. He's playing it. Yeah.
Okay. I thought he would because it looks super Persona.
But I mean, it's Persona without the kind of the school side of things. And he says it's a lesser version of Persona 5. But the funny thing about it is that when he was talking to me, he was like, oh, it's going to be in so many categories. And I was kind of standing there being like, Metaphor Refund. It seems like a bit of a shoe filler.
I thought it was a mobile game when I first heard it.
It wasn't. But I mean, basically, these nominations is in a lot of places. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it win Best Art Direction, because in fairness to it, it's so stylistic. Do you know what I mean? UI, everything like that.
It looks fantastic.
So my vote's to Neva, but I think it's going to be Metaphor Refantasio.
Okay.
All right. What we got next?
Next, we have Score. I just wrote down job forms. So best score and music.
Yeah.
For outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and or licensed soundtrack. And on this, we have Astrobot, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Metaphor: ReFantazio, Silent Hill 2, which was really surprising me because I didn't think of Silent Hill as like a...
With a score. I mean, it has music, but I'm sure it's more atmospheric than...
Exactly. And then Stellar Blade, which watching some videos and like feedback and stuff, a lot of people... I don't know much about Stellar Blade, but apparently the soundtrack slapped. But I don't know if... Sometimes when a soundtrack's really good, it's that's just the music. If like...
And I think
put them together, it doesn't always work for me.
And I think something like Stellar Blade might just be in the case that, like, if you're a Stellar Blade fan, you know the music and you're into it. For me, I think this one is both my vote and my prediction.
It's Final Fantasy. Heart, like, easy choice.
Outside of the video game, people know the music. Do you know what I mean? It's just, and in fairness to it, the score for Rebirth is out of this world. I watched a video. They released,
even if it just has updated versions of the older songs, like, all you need.
But they did these, so it's got this thing with the music in it actually like develops throughout the story, so that you hear a song at the start and it's quite simplistic and it's quite whatever, but by the end of the game when you're fighting that same kind of boss or character, the music throughout the game just develops into something that's just far more, got so much more oomph in it. I remember finishing it being like, Jesus Christ. So for me, it's a prediction and a vote, Boko to Final Fantasy VII.
Mine too. Yeah, I think that's an easy choice, although like I haven't played much of the others.
yeah. I mean, Astrobot has... it's nice that Astrobot's in there, and I love the music in Astrobot, but I don't
It was cutesy and it's just, like, boppy, right?
And funny. Like, I mean, there's a great level where you have to, like, grow this tree out of the ground, so you can, like, go into the tree, and that's part of the level. But when he pops out of the ground, he's kind of got, like, not necessarily a rap, but he's got his own little hip-hop song, and that thing had me in, like, stitches laughing. But I don't... Like, it's great music, but I don't think it's, like, something that I'd class as, like, the best music in score, you know?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. What's next?
Best audio design, recognizing the best in-game audio and sound design. Again, Astrobot, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, again, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Senua's Saga Hellblade 2, and again, Silent Hill 2, which makes more sense for
audio design for
game.
Sure. Yeah.
Although that being said, the existence of Senua's Saga, again, I haven't played the second one, but... The first one was one of the main drivers was the sound design.
It's a tough one for me. I think there's three. So in terms of me making the prediction here, I think there's three here that could potentially win it. I think it's Call of Duty, Senua's Saga, and Silent Hill 2. I think Call of Duty has always had, as a person who played them in the years gone by, the audio design in those games is
the
phenomenally good.
The spatial audio and so like good. Hearing footsteps behind you.
I mean, it's
standard
been done
now. Yeah. So is that?
But like, I think they do it the best now. But I know what you mean with Senua's Saga, because there's so much going on with that, like whispers and trying to mess you up. It's totally
different. They even warn you, just like if you have any sort of like mental issues, maybe not play this game.
Yeah, maybe don't do it. What do you think? What's your prediction? What's your vote?
Both Senua's.
This is a tough one. I think I'm probably going to go both on Senua's Saga myself as well. I think that's a good shout.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, and the next one is adaptation, but I haven't got it queued up, so you there?
No, I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So best adaptation, recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. Excuse me. On this, we've got Arcane, Fallout, Knuckles, Like a Dragon Yakuza, Tomb Raider, The Legend of Lara Croft.
Tomb Raider got... eviscerated, I remember. Like, people hated
that. The animated one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know Like a Dragon even got an adaptation.
I don't know if it's... That's the thing as well. It was like, if it was out, I probably would have given it a watch because Yakuza is so mad, but I didn't even realize it was out yet. So, I mean, maybe that must be good. I think for me, given its popularity, I'd say Fallout's probably got the strongest shot here.
You think so? So Fallout has my vote easily. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And I was super disappointed that Arcane was just an extension of the first story. I was kind of hoping to see a whole new non sequitur story that involved more champions.
Yeah.
That's what I really wanted. But that being said, I think Arcane actually takes this.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. But your vote is for Fallout, is
Fallout
it?
Is my vote, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to vote... yeah, I'll vote Fallout as well. And I think Fallout will take it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think Fallout will take it. I think in a year that we had really dodgy adaptations, Borderlands and things like that, and the announcement of the Minecraft movie where people are like, oh, lads, we need to take a step back here. I think Fallout...
How did I miss that one?
The Minecraft movie?
Yeah.
You haven't seen... Jack Black plays Steve?
No.
Oh, man, you need to watch the trailer for that shit.
Announced on April 1st?
No. It's real. Jason Momoa is in it as well. Plays one of the people who enters the Minecraft world. But it looks awful.
Oh, and pink shirt?
Pink shirt.
I thought that was all a joke.
No, that's real, man. That's up and coming. And I think that along with like the likes of Borderlands, which was a flop, and I think... and the Knuckles TV series, which was like maybe too much from the Sonic universe. I think Fallout was kind of like a bit of a shining star in a year that had kind of pretty floppy adaptations. So I think that's why it's going to stand out a bit. All right, what's next on our list?
Next is we have Best Narrative for Outstanding Storytelling and Narrative Development in a Game.
Nice.
Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, Metaphor, ReFantazio, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, Silent Hill 2.
I find this one tough. My obvious vote, which is what I will be voting, I think, would be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth because I just love the storyline. But narratively, I think it's got its issues. I don't think it's super well put together, and I think they're kind of making it a little bit more convoluted than possibly it needs to be. I'm still in for
that. That was my issue with Remake. It's just, it strayed a bit too far from the story, and it got too kind of batshit for me.
Silent Hill 2, I don't know if that could be in for because it's a remake, and I don't know if narratively speaking we'll get like a remake of a game winning Best Narrative. Metaphor, ReFantazio, what Craig showed me of that, now granted I'm not like well deep in the lore of that, but it seems quite basic. Seems like fairly straightforward.
I don't know. Like apparently there, like it touches on a lot of weird, like social issues. Like there's like class systems and racism and shit like that.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Like I think the opening cinematic is just some guy like just kicking a beggar.
Okay.
Like in the head.
So it might have something in there. So I think it's, to me, it's between Like a Dragon and then Senua's Saga. And I think the two of them are wildly different in their narratives. I think Senua's Saga is making far more of a point, well, not necessarily a point, but kind of focusing in on a very much a, like a real life problem. Whereas Like a Dragon is just a fun, Infinite Wealth is just a bit of a fun romp. Do you
wacky
know what I mean?
One. Mine's between Like a Dragon and Metaphor.
Interesting. So what are you going to, what's your vote?
I'm going to vote Like a Dragon.
Nice. My vote's going to be Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, just because I love it, but I don't think it's a
It's
a solid narrative. I think Senua's Saga Hellblade 2 might get it.
I think Metaphor might get it.
Excellent. What's next on our list, and I'll bring it up here?
Impact.
Games for Impact. Okay, so for a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. The nominees for this one are Close to the Distance, Indica, Neva, Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, and Tales of Kinzera Zao. I only know, in terms of storyline, roughly, Neva, Senua's Saga, and Tales of Kinzera. And I think the Tales of Kinzera is a nice story. I think the guy who created the game, I think he lost his...
Dad.
Yeah. And the game, I think, is a lot about dealing with kind of that kind of grief and stuff like that. So I think that could have a real important message in terms of like impact for playing it. I think Neva's about a bit like about loss and stuff like that as well, and Senua's Saga I think is just about kind of dealing with kind of obviously mental health and how that looks. I think Senua's Saga could be rocking away with quite a few trophies this year.
I don't think the game actually landed well though. That's the issue. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they missed on some of these points that they should have been a lot better at.
I think my vote for this one is probably going to be Tales of Kinzera. And I think, actually, and that's going to be my prediction, I think that's got a good chance of winning it as well.
Tales of Kinzera?
Yeah.
Can you say them again real quick?
Yeah. Closer to the Distance, Indica, Neva, Life is Strange, Double Exposure, Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2, and Tales of Kinzera.
Fuck, I have no idea. I think I heard more about Life is Strange and Indica.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just split it between those. I'll do, my vote is Indica. And then, I'll just put Indica for both because I don't really know. But I have had that pop up on feeds and stuff.
Nice. Okay. So we'll watch this space.
Yeah.
All right, what's next on our list?
Best community support. Recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates and patches. The votes are Baldur's Gate 3, Final Fantasy 14, Fortnite, Helldivers 2, and No Man's Sky.
This is a tough one just from my own personal
It's Baldur's Gate across the board.
Oh, no, I think Baldur's Gate 3 will win it as well, but from my personal perspective, like, Baldur's Gate 3 is my prediction, of course. But, like, I'm looking at No Man's Sky, still killing it. Final Fantasy 14, still killing it. Fortnite, from a social media perspective, is... I don't think it's beatable, really. Do you know what I mean? I think their social media activity and their announcements and everything like that...
Yeah, but it's also, like... I also read this as just, like, how...
How responsive they are in terms of, like, getting back to you on your Twitter posts.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas, like, Baldur's Gate, Larian Studios have said that, like, this is their final product. This is all you're getting. There's not going to be any DLC.
Yeah.
But they've continued to make the game better. Yeah. And they went super pro modding and are incorporating that game into the game and making it easier for modders, which is just the biggest green flag, in my opinion, for community support. Like, so they want us to actually... make their game even better, which is amazing. In a time where, you know, you're getting sued by companies trying to do that.
Absolutely. So Baldur's Gate is your prediction and your vote?
Easy, yeah.
I think it's definitely my prediction. I think my vote will go to... it'll be my prediction, my vote as well. That's a tough one. There's a couple I could have put there, but I think I love that it's still there doing its thing. Our next category, Chris.
Multiplayer.
Oh, excellent. I enjoyed this one. So, for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game, genre, or platform. The nominations are Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Super Mario Party Jamboree, Tekken 8, and Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2.
Is a tough one. I think this is one of the tougher ones, in my opinion.
Yeah. Super Mario Party Jamboree has been very well received. I think it's a bit of a nod back to how good Super Mario Party could have been. Tekken 8, I mean, as fighting games go, it's top tier. Like, and the multiplayer experience on that is great.
You think it's top tier?
Tekken 8, I think, as a multiplayer game, the online experience, I really enjoyed it. But again, like, in terms of, I've really enjoyed Helldivers, I really enjoyed Tekken here, and I really enjoyed Warhammer. I really enjoyed Warhammer 40,000.
I think my vote is going to 40K.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
My prediction is, I think it's Helldivers, man. Like, people are still playing that so much. And I don't know. They look like they're having a blast. Like, there's all those, like, YouTube reels of just the most ridiculous shit. Like, people, like, role-playing and...
Yeah.
I thought it was fucking hilarious.
So your vote is for Warhammer, your prediction is Helldivers.
Yeah.
I
don't think there's any hope Warhammer wins over Helldivers.
No, I don't think so. I'm really torn between Tekken 8 and Warhammer. I think, you know what, I'm going to vote, my personal vote's Warhammer as well. I had such a fun time with that. But I think my prediction's Call of Duty. I think Call of Duty 6 is a bit of a comeback for them because the previous one was such a flop and this one seems to be quite... well, better received. And I think given the kind of spotlight it's had with the whole Xbox Games Pass, it's the first instance that that's it's probably in
fair
the...
Fair point, yeah.
All right, multiplayer, what we got after that?
We have Best Independent Game for Outstanding Creative and Technical Achievement in a Game Made Outside the Traditional Publisher System. It's important to read these very carefully because there's some of these categories that are
the indie one got us last year as well. I still don't think it's clear enough what the indie kind of categories exactly are, but go ahead with the nominations.
So we have Animal Well, which is the first game published by
Video Game Donkey.
Yeah,
his Big Mouth or whatever it's called.
Yeah,
his publisher. Yeah,
which
Big Mode, that's what it is.
I mean, is it because it's his first published game? Like, because that's big publisher now, like,
yeah.
So why is that indie? I don't... Anyways. Balatro. You'll hear a lot of that.
Oh, man, it's so much fun.
Yeah. Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, which is just... I have no idea what
a great name. Never played it, though. Great name.
Neva. And UFO 50, which I also have no idea about.
No, I don't even recognize that, but good for them.
Yeah. My vote and my prediction, both Balatro.
My vote, Neva. My prediction, Balatro. And what's cool about this is, you know, although I'm not getting, you know, I'd love to see Neva win the Sense of Pity. I think Neva's coming in as an indie game on a very strong indie year. But I love the fact that the indie game that could be walking away with a lot of things is a card game.
Yeah.
That they've made it that. Yeah. And like, I played a small section of it in Dave the Diver, and it's addictive as. It's so satisfying to play.
It's like
so,
poker. Right? Yeah,
it's I wouldn't say it's hard. Maybe I'm just good at the game. Like, I wouldn't say it's hard to lose or anything. It's just a real, does nice things to my brain when I'm playing it. Like, do you know what I mean? Makes me think a little bit. It's just the reward's right, really colors, enjoyable. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
The problem I also have with some of the, like, even the following one here is the fact that, like, the presence of a single game kind of makes the the voting moot because it's also
so strong
up against, or it's up for game of the year, and none of the rest of them are. Yeah. So by default, that makes this better than the rest.
Yeah, if it's made into game of the year. Are we on to best debut indie game next?
We are on best debut indie game.
So for the best debut game created by a new independent studio, and I think the Jeff Keighley on the announcement actually mentioned that these are for publishers that have yet to receive a video game award. So I think to be part of this category... As part of this category, you cannot be considered for this if you're a developer who's already won a game award, which isn't many, obviously. But go ahead with the nominations.
We have Animal Well, Balatro again. Very weird choice here, which is Manor Lords, and I'll get to that in a second. Pacific Drive, which actually, like... pretty popular. Mm-hmm. And then The Plucky Squire. So this is a weird one because Manor Lords is in early access. It's not released yet. So I don't know why it's even included when Valheim or like Hades 2 are nowhere to be found.
Yeah.
Also early access games. Strange. Doing pretty well, but it's still, like, it's early access, it's got its bugs.
DLC, early access, season passes, battle passes should not be included, man. I'm going to stand by that, you know. Yeah. Screw you, Elden Ring. But go on.
If anything, it should be most anticipated.
Yeah, if it's an early access and people are like, I can't wait till this is ready to go, you know, absolutely. Yeah.
But this obviously goes to Balatro, just for both vote and...
For me, preference-wise, I'd love to see Pacific Drive. Get it. I love the concept of that all game. Right. I think it's really interesting, a little bit different. Balatro's my the obvious. I think anything independent that's a shoe, and as you said, it's already in there for a game of the year. So
if Manor Lords was complete and not in the state it's in, I could see it maybe taking my vote. But
All right,
Balatro across the
world. What'll I get next for us?
VR.
Okay. So, best VR AR for the best game experience playable in virtual or augmented reality, irrespective of platform. We have Arizona Sunshine Remake, Asgard's Wrath 2, Batman Arkham Shadow, Metal Hellsinger VR, and Metro Awakening. I can only speak... I don't know the first two. I've seen Batman Arkham Shadow in play. Looks fun, looks interesting. I think my personal thought has to go to Metal Hellsinger VR just because that game's mine just does so too, much fun.
Because it's a music game.
Yeah. In VR, and, rhythm.
I mean, it's, Doom-ish.
And interesting, in terms of my prediction, I think it could be Batman, or I think Metal Hellsinger could be in with a good show for a VR game. But
yeah?
I think so, but I think it's going to be Batman. I think my prediction is Batman.
I thought maybe Metro, because Metro's kind of a horror game. Horror-ish.
Horror-ish.
And usually that's better for VR.
And I suppose the first-person shooter is always a good VR show. Okay, so your prediction to be Metro?
Yes.
Nice.
Vote is definitely Metal.
Yeah, let's hope Metal Hellsinger takes that one. Nice. Okay, we're rocking through here, Chris. What we got left?
We have Content Creator of the Year for a streamer or content creator who's made an important and positive impact in the community in 2024. We have Queso, Illusion, Techno Gamers, Typical Gamer, and Usada Pecora, which is a VTuber.
I have no idea who these people are.
I only know Queso, and Queso is... I don't want to be mean, but huge. But that's kind of like the joke around him.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a big boy. He's a big boy. His chats like to make fun of him a lot for it. But
oh, poor Queso.
And he's good spirited about it. No, but he's hilarious, and he's obviously the only name I really know on this list.
Yeah.
But I'm sure even if I knew The others, I would still give my vote to Queso because his content is pretty fucking
nice.
Fun.
Okay. I will abstain my voting there as I have no idea about any of them.
Fair enough. Next is...
on our list?
Anticipated, if you want to bring those
up. Oh, yeah, okay. Most anticipated game, recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. We have Death Stranding 2 on the beach, Ghost of Yotai, Grand Theft Auto 6, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond, and Monster Hunter Wilds. It's a pity because my vote was 100%. From a personal perspective, what I'm most anticipating is Monster Hunter Wilds. Without a shadow of a doubt, I played the beta or the test that they had. It seems like it's going to be a lot of fun. This is going to be hands down Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah, there's not a question. No. Yeah, definitely GTA 6.
I think it's hilarious that Metroid Prime 4 Beyond is... I mean, I know it's anticipated, but it just looks like...
No, you know what the funny thing is? Had they not just done that Nintendo...
Direct that they announced
We
wouldn't even know.
It could stand a better chance as anticipated, but now that we've seen it, we're like, nah. No, thank you.
I don't want that anymore.
I'll have the crab juice.
What's your personal
GTA 6 takes this. I actually don't care for any of them.
Really?
Too much. The one I care about the most, and I think I'll actually play, is Wilds.
Yeah.
So that's what's getting my vote.
Were you ever a Grand Theft Auto player? Are you excited for Grand Theft Auto 6?
I played up until... I played the originals a lot, the top downs.
Mm-hmm.
I played 3 a bit. I played the shit out of Vice City. I did everything you could. And then I played a bit of 4. It was 4, the Russian one.
Oh, 4 was the Russian one, yeah.
Yeah, I played a bit of that one. I didn't... I missed San Andreas, which is probably the best one.
Yeah.
And then, 5, I just never got into it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to see what it looks like in terms of, we've waited. It's like Rockstar have been, just sitting on a big pile of money for a long time. So I'm interested to see what it looks like. But yeah, that's anticipated game.
Yeah, for sure.
There's no doubt about that.
My other issue right now, too, is just after going through so much Cyberpunk, is just could I go, I want that world, GTA 6.
Yeah.
Why can't they just team up?
Make the most perfect game ever.
Fuck.
All right. What's next on our list here?
So next we have Best Action and Adventure. For the Best Action Adventure Game, combining combat with traversal and puzzle solving, we have Astrobot, Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, Silent Hill 2, Star Wars Outlaws, which...
It has puzzles, man, and I heard a funny thing about how awful those puzzles were.
Yeah. And finally, Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, which usually you'd think Zelda is a shoe-in for...
This to
action adventure, but yeah. I think
it has to be Astrobot.
Astrobot sweeps.
Yeah, here. It has to be Astrobot. And the Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown has been really well received, and it looks like a great game. But if there's ever a category I think Astrobot can win in this year's Game Awards, I think it's this one, and I hope it does. It's my prediction and my vote for sure. It was a fantastic game, unbelievable game, such a surprise. And I'm sad that I think they said the sales of it, the last I checked, were 1.4 million, which was a disappointment for them in terms of they were expecting kind of more. So I'm sad that that's the case. And
I think it was too cutesy and people didn't take it seriously. I think that's going to change once.
If it wins something like this, I hope it just...
Yeah, I think that's going to change. And I think people are going to realize that, holy fuck, this, I should never judge a game by its cover again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also the inclusion of Star Wars Outlaws seems wild to me because all I've heard is bad things about that game.
Yeah.
Anyways, take us on to RPG.
Yeah, best RPG. Okay, so for the best game designed with rich player character customization and progression, including massively multiplayer experiences, we've got Dragon's Dogma 2, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Tree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, and Metaphor ReFantasio. I'm also annoyed that Elden Ring's here. Best RPG. It's just can you call it DLC RPG?
Well, hold on. As far as as far as RPG goes, immersing yourself in a role to play any role you want.
No, I know Elden Ring's good at that, but it's DLC.
Oh, it's DLC.
Listen, if this was 2022, Chris, I'm right with you. Elden Ring, I'll be there, Elden Ring, but it's DLC. No, thanks. My vote's obviously on Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but from a customization perspective, I don't think it's going to win it. I think it'll go to Dragon's Dogma. I hope it goes to
Dragon's Dogma. Dragon's Dogma was pretty on rails, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
There was another one.
Could be a metaphor.
I think it could be a metaphor. Yeah, but I've heard Dragon's Dogma was kind of on rails.
See, here's the thing. We'll get to the nominations for the Game of the Year, of course, at the end. But for me, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth needs to win a lot, because I think as a game, never mind the fact that it's Final Fantasy, I think in terms of the boundaries that it pushed, in terms of what a game is capable of being, in terms of like length, content, etc. RPG, it's not as customizable as like, customize your character, blah, blah, blah. But there's a huge amount of leveling up and abilities and skill trees and everything. My vote is 100% Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. It's also my prediction, and I will be disappointed if it doesn't win.
Elden Ring, Metaphor.
Elden Ring, Metaphor, like a Dragon. And Dragon's like Dogma 2. Yeah,
My vote's... It's Elden Ring, I'm sorry. If it's going to be included...
Boo, Chris, boo.
If it's going to be included, it's going to get my
You're
vote.
You're part of the problem, Chris.
No, I'm not. I didn't come up with these rules, but I got to abide by them.
Yeah.
But as far as actually winning goes...
Metaphor could have a couple of sneaky ones here.
I think, but if Metaphor wins this, that means it also wins Game of the Year.
I don't think so. I think
it can't win Game of the Year, but not also be the best in the category it belongs to.
I think it absolutely can. I think you could be the best RPG that came out that year, but there's a better game than you from a different genre.
But it's in that genre. Maybe.
Like, for example, let's say, I know Astrobot is in Game of the Year.
If Final Fantasy wins Best Game of the Year, but it doesn't win Best Racing, because it's not a racing game. Yeah.
But if it didn't win Best RPG, or if it doesn't win Best RPG, but won Game of the Year, I would be surprised at that. Only in that if Elden Ring... No, Elden Ring's for Game of the Year as well. Fuck, Elden Ring better not win anything, man. I'm telling you. I think you could be the best in your genre, but still not be the best game of that year. I think a game in another genre could top you know.
Okay.
All right. What's next in our list? All right.
So up next, this one was a tough one for me. I'm kind of torn about it. Best fighting. For the best...
Your category, man.
Yeah, for the best game design, primarily around head-to-head combat. And the contenders are... Dragon Ball Sparking Zero, Granblue Fantasy versus Rising.
The fucking names.
Names. Bad shit. Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection Arcade Classics, Multiverses, and Tekken 8.
So what
and
are you
right off
with
the bat?
Here?
My vote is for Marvel vs. Capcom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just because fuck yeah.
Yeah.
We got it. We're there, boys. I don't think it's going to win, though. I think this comes to... And I'm torn. It's... I played a lot of Multiverses, but unfortunately that game was just strictly better in the beta. So it's out of the question. Granblue was fun, actually. I did like it a lot, but it's no Tekken. I think this comes down to Dragon Ball or Tekken, which seems crazy because, I mean, it's fucking Tekken.
Man, for me...
But Dragon Ball... Like, it popped off when it was released, man, and it reached a broader audience.
I think it did, but I think the juries in charge of making these votes are sensible people, and I think both my prediction and my vote got a Tekken 8 because it is probably the best Tekken, with the exception of 3, maybe. And I think as fighting games go, I think it's one of the most polished fighting games out there in terms of the mechanics that are involved in it and everything like that. So for me, it's my vote and my prediction for
sure. Dragon Ball also has higher rated than Tekken.
Yeah, I better not,
it's,
man.
I know.
If Tekken is... And I understand.
Sounds crazy.
And I'm
right?
not trying to do... Because I know some of my friends are Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball fans, whatever else. But if Tekken 8, after all of the waiting and how good it is, loses to Dragon Ball, I'd be very disappointed.
I liked your opinion about the powers that be in charge. Tekken is a true 2.5D fighter. Dragon Ball is not. As far as fighting game goes, yeah, I'll give my prediction to Tekken.
Nice.
Not my vote, though. MVC,
your vote still,
baby.
Yeah. Great to have it back.
Take us away with action. Which action adventure action? Just can we
yes,
cut the bullshit?
Best action game for the best game in action genre focused primarily on combat. That's a nice way to look at it. Okay, so we're talking purely combat. We've got Black Myth Wukong, Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Helldivers 2, Stellar Blade, and Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2. And interestingly enough, Chris, I think Warhammer could actually be in with a shout here.
It's got my vote because it would be heresy to vote otherwise. So
nice. I just think in terms of combat wise, I had so much fun playing that game. So much fun. I mean, for those who haven't played it, but maybe have played something like Gears of War, it's like Gears of War, maybe a little bit on steroids in terms of the modern day video games. The combat in that game is so much fun. I think Helldivers 2 is probably in with a chance. Black Myth Wukong, I think, is for more of the purists out there, it being kind of a Souls-like game. But I hope it goes to something that's a little bit more old school in its approach, which would be Warhammer 40K. That's my vote, and I think it's my prediction as
No.
You don't think so?
You think your prediction?
Okay. I think my prediction, yeah.
It's definitely got my vote, but this goes to Wukong. Easy.
Yeah?
Easy, yeah. They're definitely taking this.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looks amazing. I just think that it's we've gotten a lot of Souls over the last couple of years, and I think Warhammer was a return to a PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 era that I've missed.
Trust me, I'm there with you, but like... Wukong was just like it blew people away, and the problem is there's a lot of controversy around it, so I don't think they'll give it Game of the Year, but I think they have to give it something or else people like burn down houses. So it's getting best action.
Okay, all right, yeah,
and
it's fair.
Rightfully deserved.
I mean, I would
the
I wouldn't
political
be...
issue should have never weighed
come into
it down.
It. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, 40K, my vote prediction is Wukong.
Fair.
Next up, we have innovation and accessibility, recognizing software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by a wider audience. And for people who are not entirely sure what that means, is they're talking about people with some sort of impairment to like visual or
audio and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
So the votes we have are Call of Duty Black Ops 6, Diablo 4, Dragon Age the Veilguard, Prince of Persia the Lost Crown, and Star Wars Outlaws. Star Wars Outlaws is here just because like you can fall asleep, make sure you're head hits the keyboard and you still get you still progress.
Fuck, man, what a disappointing game. Where are you with this one? Do you know
I did a bit of research today about this because I was kind of behind, and I think my vote and my prediction both go to Diablo 4.
Interesting, yeah. Okay, yeah. Because the only one I'm familiar with is Diablo 4. I think when the game was being prepped for release, I watched a video on their introduction to
and they've recently, like, within the past, I don't know how long, a few weeks, few months or so, with the new Vessel of Hatred, they've added more. Like, they have, like, and some of the stuff is pretty wild that you take for granted and you think should always be there, but text-to-speech isn't present in a lot of games. So like menus, when you're scrolling through a menu, it actually reads it out. They also have like, you can set it up in a way for like specific items make different sound effects, like a potion. If it drops on the ground, it'll be a different sound cue as opposed to like an armor, stuff like that. And like when these things drop, it'll also read out to them. And they also incorporated spatial audio, so you can hear what direction it fell in, which is just incredible shit. Black Ops 6 started messing around with better spatial audio too, which is good for them. I mean, it is toss-up. Black Ops 6 did some great things, and I heard good things about Dragon Age, but I don't think Dragon Age even touched what Diablo 4 was doing.
Yeah. I think it's funny. I think the reason I voted Diablo 4 is I'm not familiar with the other ones, but I think that's a case in point. I didn't go searching for the information on Diablo 4. It was kind of presented to me in my day-to-day, whatever else, and I was like, if they're doing that and I'm impressed with what they're doing, they must be up there. Well, in terms of, from my perspective, they must be up there in terms of the higher echelon of what they're coming out with.
And they have like have entire teams to do this, and they're not just like teams, they're accessibility experts. It's, well, they are experts, but it's because they live that life.
Yeah.
Like, they have a fella that is, he had no use in his left arm, I think, so he can only play right-handed, so he's just playing the game. He's like telling them how to like make it better, and you mean other impairments on top of that well. But
all right, so Diablo 4, is that both our vote?
I think sweeps that one.
Yeah, nice. What's next? I'll bring family. Best family game. So this one is for the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. We have Astro Bot, Princess Peach Showtime, Super Mario Party Jamboree, The Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom, and The Plucky Squire. It's a toss-up for me on this one, because when I think of family game, I always think of a game that needs to be multiplayer as well.
Sitting around playing together, right?
Yeah, I mean, but I think family game is just family friendly in the terms of like that it's good for all ages. I don't think it necessarily has to be a multiplayer game
like
to
G-rated be G-rated.
Exactly. Yeah. So like my prediction is kind of leaning towards Super Mario Party Jamboree, because I can even see Nintendo ads for that with, like, you know, the man, the dad, and the two kids playing some Mario Party. It's like, it's just super friendly and a good game as well. My vote goes to Astrobot, because I think it's just, I think as a game, regardless of age that you're playing it, it's such a polished, great game. I platinumed it. It's up there for me for Game of the Year as well. I hope it wins it, but I think Mario Party might take this one.
I think Mario Party takes it too.
Do you have your own preference here?
Not overly, but I've heard just so many good things about Astrobot that I can't. Yeah, I'll give it the vote, Astro.
Yeah. All right. We're approaching. We're kind of on the final straight now. Only a couple more categories left to go.
Yeah, the next one's kind of dry for me. I'm not really familiar with really any of them. But it's best sim/strategy. Best game focused on real-time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay, irrespective of platform. And, like, this, we're not going to see any competition for the next year.
Oh, yeah.
Just because
Civ's out next year.
Civ's out next year, so that means Civ wins next year.
Yeah.
So we have Age of Mythology Retold, Frostpunk 2, which I guess is probably the most exciting, Kunutsu Gami Path of the Goddess, which is Capcom, actually. Interesting. Manor Lords again, although early access, too buggy. I don't think that'll take it. And then Unicorn Overlord, which I've actually...
I've seen... Because I hated the name. This was on a Nintendo Direct, and
Triangle Strategy.
Yeah, I hated the name, but loved the look of the game. I've no experience with it. I mean, Age of Mythology would have been one that I would have played back in the day. I'm not necessarily a big fan of remakes. I say that, but like I'm talking about Final Fantasy in the question. But that's a totally different. It's not a remaster. It's a totally remake. It's not the same game potentially. Age of Mythology Retold. I guess maybe might not be. But I think that's my prediction. My vote would be for Unicorn Overlord, just because I love
that. I think Unicorn Overlord for both.
Nice, really. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because I have heard this pop up and like. People are like, this better get something. So, yeah, that'll be mine.
All right,
next one is sports.
Oh, best sports /racing?
Yeah.
For the best traditional and non-traditional sports and racing game, the nominees are F1 24, EA Sports FC 25, NBA 2K 25, Top Spin 2K 25, and WWE 2K 24. 2K is fucking rocking it out in this category. Yeah, like, Jesus Christ.
And I don't. Care
for me it's got to be F1. I hope it's F1. I think F1 in terms of what it's done graphically from a simulation point of view, I think is probably one of the best games, especially in this category. I think EA is tired. I know that it's FC now, it's changed. I think EA is just a bit, you know, EA Sports FC is tired. The NBAs are popular, but I would be very surprised.
Always so buggy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. WWE 2K24 again, slightly buggy, but obviously fun games. But for me, I think my vote and prediction are both with F1 24. I really hope it wins this.
My vote and prediction are both WWE, because it's the only one with positive scores on Steam.
Does F1 24 have negative?
No, everything's shit.
Wow. Jesus.
I shouldn't say shit. A lot of them have like mixed,
mm-hmm.
But WWE was mostly positive.
Okay.
Which is still not. Very positive, but no, I mean, no. It's in the green, I suppose.
Are we running into our esports section now?
We are. Lovely. So this is best esports game. I'm not even going to... Actually, yeah. For the game that has delivered the best overall esports experience to players, inclusive of tournaments, community support, content upgrades, irrespective of genre or platform. This category pisses me off so much.
Let it out, Chris. Let it all out. What's up with this category?
Because we have Counter-Strike 2, Dota 2, League of Legends, Mobile Legends Bang Bang, and Valorant.
Is Mobile Legends Bang Bang a mobile phone version of League of Legends?
I think so.
Bang Bang's such a terrible name.
I know. It's got so many MOBAs, three games by the same company. Counter-Strike 2 is always going to be on this list, but I still think the best esports game this year was fucking Street Fighter 6 by a long shot, and it's not even on this. Maybe that's just my personal bias, but man, the tournaments were great. It's fun to watch. It's,
and I'm with you, but I just don't think it captures the audience levels that these guys do. You know,
crazy. Anyways, my vote goes to Counter-Strike, just because I do still have an appreciation for that.
And
game as an esport. Your and prediction is League of Legends. I mean,
My vote would be Dota 2. My prediction is League of Legends. Yeah, hopefully not Bang Bang.
Ridiculous. I think it's mobile. I actually don't know
anything
about it, but fuck it, whatever. Best athlete next. I mean, I don't even need to hear it. I know Faker's on there, so yeah, Faker wins.
Absolutely. The esports athlete judged to be the most outstanding for performance and conduct in 2024, irrespective of game. We have got 33. Alexi B, Chovy, Faker, Ziwu, and SMJJKK.
Yeah, this is pronounced like Chum Chum or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so... It's good to show you out of it. Faker's the only one I know, so I guess he gets Faker, my vote.
Yeah, he's the GOAT. Yeah. He's always going to win, and his team just won Worlds again this year.
Nice.
And apparently it was, I didn't watch it, but like apparently it was a pretty good showing. Like a lot of people were like really excited about what the fuck just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to our next category, if it loads, which is
best team. Esports team, recognizing a specific esports team, not the full organization. Judge the most outstanding for performance and conduct in 2024. We've got Bilibili Gaming, Gen.G, Navi. Oh, well, I should say what games they're playing, excuse me. So Bilibili Gaming for League of Legends, Gen.G for League of Legends, Navi for Counter-Strike, T1 for League of Legends, and Team Liquid for Dota 2.
I mean, I'll throw T1 across the board because that's Faker's team, and just mm-hmm. apparently they did the crazy things at Worlds. I don't think Faker can win and Team T1 doesn't.
I think Luke told me a story about Team Liquid. Possibly of like an underdog or never. I mean, I don't mean this year. It could have been from years gone by. They'll get my vote just because of the possible underdog story that Luke told me once before. But I think it's T1, League of Legends. Gets it. It's my prediction. Okay. Which brings us on to the final straight here, Chris. Our kind of last two. Second to last is our best game direction. Awarded for outstanding creative
art direction.
Vision. Oh, best game. No, we've done art direction. This is just best game direction.
Oh, I'm on the wrong... Oh, I didn't... Yeah, you're right. I'm done.
No, you're all good. Awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovation in game direction and design. We've got Astrobot, Balatro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring, Shadow of the Erdtree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantasio. Spoiler alert, it's the same games that are in the actual
nominees. Is this the exact same?
I think it's the exact same. We'll find it shortly when we go into it.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, you're right. Fuck.
Best game direction. It's a tough one. I've played...
Awarded for outstanding creative vision and innovative innovation in game direction and design. So innovation automatically... Elden Ring's out, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think... Fuck, man. I think most of these are out. I think Final Fantasy might be out.
For what reason?
Innovation? Like, it's... Isn't it just very much the same remake, just like open world now?
No, in terms of open world, but what I think they've done in terms of like this size of, I think the big surprise for that game, which was what a lot of people were like, holy shit, I can't believe they've actually managed to produce this from a design perspective, is that the game at chapter 12 or something like that opens up and you realize the whole world is explorable, like Final Fantasy VII. But in terms of, I think what's innovative about that in this day and age is that map size, I think, is astronomical and there's like zero loading times. And
I mean, you got to play Elden Ring. That's all I got to say. Play Elden Ring. We should probably sit down and play each other's
games. I mean, for me, I mean, Astrobot doesn't do anything. I mean, innovative in terms of, I think, the haptics and everything like that from the DualSense are really enjoyable in Astrobot. Game direction.
I think Metaphor is still too similar to Persona to get any sort of like innovative direction.
Balatro isn't innovative, but it's like the game direction is quite interesting in that it's so good and it's just a card game.
Yeah,
it's so good and it's just a card game.
Black Myth Wukong is just boss rush. I think this goes to Astrobot. I think it's my vote and my prediction.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's pretty like it brings in a lot of characters too during the adventures and shit.
It does,
right?
Yeah. It's a lot of fun, yeah. I will vote for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth and I think Astrobot might take it. That's Astrobot's my prediction there. But I think Final Fantasy VII is my personal thing. Which, Chris, Brings us down to the big one.
The big one.
Game of the year, recognizing a game that delivers the absolute best experience across all creative and technical fields. And the nominees are Astrobot Balatro, Black Myth Wukong, Elden Ring Shadow of the Year Tree, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and Metaphor ReFantasio. So it is, in fact, a repeat of Best Game Direction.
It is. Get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Oh, obviously, Elden Ring's my vote.
Oh,
just the presence
for
of it.
Game
just,
of the year, just really? The
Fuck yeah. Shadow of the Year Tree. Slapped, man. It was so good.
Chris, no.
Yeah, it's my vote.
I've got so many.
It's not my prediction, though.
So you're voting for a game of the year to be DLC content?
Yeah.
For a game that came out?
I'll do it again, too. If they drop, if they give me another 40 euro DLC that is on this scale, I was like, fuck yeah. If it's the best thing I played that year, then fuck yeah.
Oh, I mean,
fuck yeah.
It just shouldn't be in this category. Game of the year. It should just be in best. Extra content, best whatever. But you're right, Chris, we don't make the rules.
You're right. It probably should be in a different category. But yeah. The fact that this year...
It's in it.
It's in it, then it's getting my
okay, vote. So Elden Ring, Shadow of the Year Tree is your vote. What's your prediction?
Fucking tough, man. I think... See, this is the other reason I thought Elden Ring might have been... Because this is my tinfoil hat. I think they, like... Black Myth Wukong is too controversial for them to actually pick, and there'd be an uproar.
Mm-hmm.
So they put in a bit more of a different uproar.
Here's something else.
Just
you
like
can
this
complain
one.
About.
Hey, by the way, that's also DLC.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that was meant to be a tiebreaker between Black Myth Wukong and Final Fantasy, or just to take
the
attention away from Black Myth. Winning it, but now that I've like gone through this and we talked about it more, like Metaphor is looking. I don't know. I think I'm torn between Final Fantasy and Metaphor, actually. Mm-hmm.
I think my personal vote is, of course, Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, as it is, I would say, from an enjoyment perspective, combat wise, it is the greatest combat. System I've ever played in the game. So enjoyable. I think the music is outrageously good. It has no right to be that good for a video game. It's like something from an Oscar winning film. It's outrageous. Narratively, the game has issues here and there, but there's a certain level of nostalgia. Final Fantasy VII was such a groundbreaking game that the fact they've gone to remake it, I think if there's a year for Final Fantasy, like the three-parter Final Fantasy to ever be in with a chance for the Game Awards, I think it's this year. Who knows what's going to come out, you know, on the same year that the Part 3 comes out. But for me, my desire is for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to win it. My prediction is for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth to win it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And like...
And don't get me wrong,
I understand what you're saying, and you guys speak so highly of it, but I think at this point, it's only, like, based on what I know and what I've heard, even from Squeenix, it's losing steam.
So
it wasn't as big of a hit as they thought it was.
No, but what a lot of people came out and said in their defense was it's the middle part of a three-parter thing. They reckon that the sales of that will increase from the part that the third part is announced. That people are like, I can finish the story, so I will buy part two and part three. And also the problem with Square Enix is, and they've always said this, they said this about Final Fantasy 16, they said this about certain DLCs back in the day about Final Fantasy 14. I don't know what their expectations are. They always seem to be astronomically high. Like Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth did well, sold well, but didn't meet Square Enix's expectations of what it would
do. But the thing about like this trilogy is they're really banking on nostalgia factor, right? Each iteration, it's much more likely that they'll only lose people's attention than gain new attention.
Potentially, but I don't think it's fair to say that
like
what they're...
Who bought this game without ever playing Remake, right? I guarantee there's a lot of people that didn't get into this game after Remake because they just they didn't like the direction it went in.
Possibly.
I don't think it really worked out. And
I don't think it's fair to say that the game was banking on nostalgia. I think the game goes far and beyond. Don't get me wrong, there's a nostalgia aspect to it that we're getting to see some of our favorite video game characters of all time be brought into the modern day. But I think the game itself is phenomenally good fun to play. Not only is it like, it's a great Final Fantasy game, first and foremost, it's got the nostalgia aspect, which we all love. The combat in it is some of the best combat I've ever played. But it also has this Yakuza vibe, where the game is just funny and silly and like,
I saw that in Remake. Had some,
and I enjoyed that about it. Whereas, like, I play video games for the enjoyment. I don't want to be like tested all the time. I don't want things to be overly heavy all the time
because
I want want to play some games just for some pure enjoyment. Like, Dave the Diver, what a great escape that was from, like, the real heavy narrative games that I'm usually tied to. But this game had real moments of, like, you know, brevity and seriousness or whatever else. And then sometimes I was like, oh, I can take a breather. These characters are having a laugh. There's funny shit happening in front of me, and it's really well delivered. I think it hits on so much more than just nostalgia that if it doesn't win Game of the Year this year, I will be most disappointed. I think it's a cracking group of nominations. I love that there's a card game in there. I love that Astrobot is in there. I think that's fantastic. Black Myth Wukong, I know it has its kind of controversies, but it is a phenomenal game by all rights.
A game that we all thought was in development hell and would stay there.
Yeah, but it came out and actually seems to have delivered somewhat. Yep. I know people still say it has its issues. Elden Ring, I won't even get into it, shouldn't even be there. And then Metaphor Refantasia was kind of like the black horse, the surprise one that people seem to be getting a lot of fun from.
And it's interesting too, because we have a remake of arguably the greatest video RPG game of all time.
Yeah.
Against, you know, a new player in the JRPG scene. So it's, I mean...
Hey, you talking about Elden Ring?
Metaphor. Yeah. Elden Ring, like I said, it's just...
I just don't think, and, you know, again, assets-wise, that was one of Craig's complaints that he was talking to me about Metaphor, in terms of that it is a lot of, like, dungeons are very, very samey, and the game has a lot of grind. And I think from an enjoyment perspective, although Craig has really enjoyed it, I think he says there are moments where this game feels like a real grind. What I loved about Final Fantasy was that game, unless you want to do the hard mode and do the real hard, tough challenges, there isn't a grind. You just play through the game. There's no grind. The asset-wise, everything's different. You go to these new places, and that's the problem that that remake had. That asset-wise, it was all samey. They brought out the DLC that had Yuffie, and that was real samey. But asset-wise, this game is just astronomical. The game's huge. I can't believe what they did with it. Yeah, I mean, you know me, Chris. I can't speak highly enough about this game, but it has to be it. And if Elden Ring wins over this, I don't. And if it wins by one vote and it's your vote, I swear to God.
Don't our votes only get count towards, like, Player's Choice?
Yeah, Player's Choice Award. Yeah, essentially, yeah. Because yeah, so there'll be a jury.
My vote can affect this.
Might affect the Player's Choice. And if the Player's Choice chooses Elden Ring, I'll be also disappointed. No, but I mean, critically, if it just gets Final Fantasy, that'll be enough for me. Even if it doesn't win Player's Choice.
I don't know what my prediction is. You know what? I'll give it Final Fantasy. You guys have spoken so highly of it.
Yeah. And again, not just because of nostalgia. Like, that's it, the game goes far, far and beyond that in terms of what it was able to do. You know, something like that.
I think I hated the first one more because of my nostalgia.
Well,
they butchered some of the characters that I used to love. And I would have rather just be reskinned and called something else.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. That's our Game of the Year nominations, our predictions, and our choices. If you disagree vehemently with anything, like Chris's choice for Game of the Year, please let us know at the Gift of Gaming podcast.
Hey, man, they forced my hand. I'm not an activist, all right? If I see something I like, I'm obviously going to...
I can vote for it. Yeah, you're going... No, I appreciate that. It's they're the problem, you know? But yeah, let us know. And if you want to stick around, myself and Chris will be looking at kind of like our most anticipated games that weren't included on this list in our post show today. You can check that out at patreon.com/thegiftofgaming.
Ooh, you know what would be a cool topic too?
Yeah.
Actually, expectations for announcements.
If you're interested in that, check out our patreon.com/giftagame. Myself and Chris are going to get into some of our expectations for announcements.
Get your bingo cards ready.
Here we go. I think, just as a little note, I think at the start of this episode we said that the nominations came out yesterday. At the time of recording this, which is a Tuesday, they did in fact come out yesterday, but by the time you'll listen to this, it will have been out for, you know, the nominations came out a little bit longer. If they haven't figured that out yet. Check that out. Chris, thank you so much for hopping on and going through the nominations with me. That was a lot of fun. Actually, I enjoyed that.
No
and
problem.
To our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.